With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Coming to you live from Alola's Battle Royale Dome, it's the one, the only Puckle Battlecast.
And welcome to the seventh episode of Puckle Battlecast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my co-hosts,
Shamu
and Raise.
And we're here, as always, to bring you the latest and greatest in the Pokemon competitive scene. Today we're going to be focusing a lot on the recent news of the VGC 18 rules set announcement. We're going to be breaking down a listener team. And yeah, that's pretty much it. We're going to talk about some recent regionals just to cover what happened in the past couple of weeks. And go over VGC 18, and we're going to take a break, come back with a listener team that was provided to us by Shira Henri. I'm really looking forward to that one. Let's get into it then, guys, if you're ready or not. So let's start with the regionals. We had a couple of regionals. Connecticut happened. I know you were there, Ryusei. How'd you do?
I did fairly well. I was undefeated up till round 5 or 6.
I heard you played A-Drive.
I did, and crushed his spirit.
Apparently.
Yes. game two, it ended up my Blissey versus his Gigalith, and Blissey had no screens, no defense boosts, and I came out on top, and then game four, I kind of destroyed him. Game three, I destroyed him. So it was great.
I mean, it's fine. That's normal.
Yep.
That's normal. You just get to play and win. And no, it's I heard that story, so I'd like to congratulate you on making a Twitter presence for yourself because A-Drive disliked you. Even if it is in spirit. Did he tag you in that? I don't know if he actually tagged you in that. Probably not.
Well, I actually never had a Twitter, but then I made one, and then I did some research, and I'm actually all over Twitter
how to funny. Twitter. I'm really bad at the tweeting. I'm working on figuring it out. It's like my next hurdle in running a thing is figuring out the Twitters.
It's super convoluted and like you think the messages are there and then they're not. It's crazy.
Imagine you had Facebook but didn't want any of the Facebook.
And yeah, that's weird.
Imagine if, and that's I use it though. It's a really powerful tool for getting people to notice you. But let's move on. This isn't the place for chit-chat.
No.
We're going to be talking about some of the regionals that happened. So one of the bigger ones that happened outside of Connecticut was the Daytona regionals. I'm honestly unsurprised at what won that with Jeremy Rodriguez in the VGC Masters with Clefairy and Whimsicott. You've been seeing a lot of that kind of stuff lately. He also did EVO boost, didn't he? EV boost. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically he took the original Evo boost team mm-hmm. that was used, and he did very well with it. It surprisingly, like, this was a big turning point. A lot of people did not think that Eevee could win a regional. I know at some other regional in the Fort Wayne, I think it topped mm-hmm. or something like that, or it was doing very well in the rounds of Swiss, but the Evo Boost team is generally looked at as like a gimmick.
Well, yeah, I think there's always a place for gimmicks in these. Especially if you look back at Fort Wayne with that Lucario. Like, that's never happening again. That's not happening again.
I don't know. The Lucario Trick Room team was actually pretty solid.
No, it was. I think it was solid, but once you know what you're looking at, I think it's a little bit less solid.
Even so, it's still, like, it still did what it needed to do, even if you knew. Just because of the way the HP of Lucario is, it almost takes out any non-bulky Pokemon. Mm-hmm. So, but that's besides the point. But yeah, the EV team was crazy. But it's just like a pretty much standard one of the first EV teams that came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the Pulse Clefairy after you, so that if under Trick Room, you can still get off the Baton Pass. The Whimsicott's a little bit new. Usually they have, I think it's Lele in the Whimsicott slot. Original.
I think Whimsicott's a better choice.
Yes,
personally.
A lot of people have been using the Whimsicott because of the Razor Fang and Fling. You can get the 100% flinch rate out of it.
Yeah, so it's just a first turn fake out.
Correct. But then also,
you see that
in this tournament too, we have one of our own who frequent that and go to our weeklies. Emily Golub. Sorry if I butchered your name, but she's known as Lava Burst Emmy. Yeah, in the
that sounds right. You got the first part right. It's definitely Emily.
Yes, but yeah, she did very very well.
She topped eight, and it's definitely Hail, which I really love. Actually, I love that she got it. She got like Hail to work. It's not even like a Hail Room team,
no,
which is awesome. Because Slush Rush exists now, which is fantastic.
Yes. Oh, Slush Rush is an amazing.
It's like this feels like Ducks, but isn't.
Yeah, it actually performs very differently than Ducks. The way she played it, and she usually plays it, is she has Sandslash as the utility Pokemon, setting up their Aurora Veil for the Venomoths.
Oh my gosh, it gets Aurora Veil?
A lot of ice types do, actually.
Awesome.
Yep,
really?
And that was one of the main reasons why she had so much success with this.
You can set up like essentially a priority Aurora Veil, and yeah, that's not terrible. And with the Steelium Z Iron Head for any like fairy that probably shows up.
I think it okos 99% of Tapu Koko.
Yeah, I would believe that unless you're running some kind of weird bulky Koko.
Yeah, you have to be super bulky, I think, to survive it. But yeah, she ended up running that, and so normally with the Vanillix Hail team, people usually run either Choice Scarf Vanillix or Choice Specs Vanillix. And she ended up choosing the Life Orb, just so that she can choose between her moves. She has the Ice Shard on her Vanillix to help with pick up those late game KOs, which was super nice. And then she's also running a Kartana, a Grassium Z with Swords Dance Kartana.
I like that one a lot, though.
Yeah, that's
like that
a little bit of an odd choice, because with Swords Dance, you normally go with Phytenium Z, because a plus one Phytenium Z will KO Arcanine. So the scenario.
You mean
of,
Celesteela?
No. A plus two KO Celesteela, but a plus one.
Yeah, it's pretty close. I think Kartana's pretty close to a Celesteela.
Yeah, but a plus one definitely KOs Arcanine. So say if an Arcanine switches in on you, you know, as your Swords Dance, then you'll be at plus one because of the Intimidate. And then you next turn, you can just Phytenium Z and knock it out. But
yeah, and then looks like standard Arcanine. Arcanine has like the anti-trick room, probably,
exactly,
with the roar. That's the anti-trick room. And then Feeny has the Feeny, pretty standard Feeny, actually, it looks like.
And a Buzz.
So, yeah.
Yep.
And standard Mandibuzz.
So, like, the key things to take away is the Aurora Veil on Sandslash, the Steelium Z, which is pretty odd, Life Orb, and then Grassium over Phytenium for the Kartana. But you know what? Those techs definitely must help their.
All right. So, another regional that happened, we'll knock this one out as well, that happened recently was the Vancouver regionals, which Apuckalonian also won, actually.
Yes. River Davis, mm-hmm. or he's known as Black in the Discord.
Yes, absolutely. Good job to him. I'm digging Slow King. There's always something that's popping up now, which is great. Like, there's always just like something weird. Like, I haven't been disappointed with like a regionals team yet, and I think that's going to change in 2018. But
yeah, we'll see.
I have a pretty good feeling.
Exactly. And,
but we'll get to that in like five minutes. He was running Bulu, Slowking, Marowak, Mimikyu, Snorlax, and Alolan Persian. Alolan Persian is the best. And he's running Dark EMC Parting Shot, which is the play.
Yeah, it is definitely very good. A lot of Marowak has been popping up greatly.
Mm-hmm. I think Marowak usage was definitely up.
Yep, a lot
from
of
where it was earlier this season.
Oranguru has popped up as well.
Mm-hmm.
In
response to that, probably.
Yep, that's one of the reasons why he actually said that he went with the Dark EMZ Persian, because I think it one-shots most Oranguru.
Mm-hmm. With Foul Play?
Even with Foul Play, because Foul Play, I think, is counted as a base 100 move, and then we move.
Oh.
Yeah, so Foul Play doesn't go off of the attack stat of the opponent. It just goes off of...
It doesn't. When it's Dark EMZ doesn't take anything based off the...
Maybe it's
move.
A base 80. I'm not 100% sure. But it definitely is a pretty...
I'm curious.
Yes,
I'm going to look this up.
Yeah, look that up. But yeah, definitely it helps in that scenario. He used a Belly Drum Snorlax. So this is a core that's been popped up in and out of the format. Mimikyu Persian Snorlax. It was around the... I want to say in Virginia, Roanoke. Roanoke, it popped up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen Persian. Yeah. I've seen Persian a bit,
and then it kind of died off. And then he obviously brought it with a very good success.
Yeah, I think I think this meta definitely. Like I've said this before, this meta is probably the best meta that they've had in Pokemon, or in the in Pokemon
Diverse.
As a competitive meta. It's been the most balanced.
Right.
I don't
always
maybe
been
not
like
balanced, but it's been the most
trio.
Interesting. It's diverse. That's the best word. Just because there hasn't been one like centralizing factor, or if there is, we haven't found it yet. And yeah,
correct.
Well, it always rotates. And I think it's very apt to say that there's probably no team of like six that you can bring that can counter another team of six entirely. And so I think it definitely helped. I think it kind of backfired in the sense that people were thinking from 2016 where it was going to expand the competitive scene and like open up to a lot of people. A lot of people did jump in this year. I will say that. But I think it definitely highlights skill more than it did the previous years.
I don't know exactly whether or not if it highlights skill. I think
there's definitely a good bit of luck. But
yeah. Like, there's a difference. I mean, this is obviously my opinion, and I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, obviously.
But in a meta that's very diverse like this, granted, it takes skill to play Pokemon and be good, but also it takes not mm-hmm. just the Pokemon RNG of inside the game mechanics, you know, Paralysis, Flinch, and Nyctra.
Mm-hmm.
It's
especially
who
you're
paired
up against.
Because there are just some things that you just auto lose mm-hmm. to because you cannot. The format is so diverse, you cannot counter everything. And if you don't face anybody
exactly.
that you auto lose to, well, then you have a really good chance and you can actually play Pokemon and have fun. And that's why, personally,
yeah.
I don't like the crazy widespread metas, but a lot of people do because looking, watching, interesting, like, there are very, very There are no similarities at all, being all top eights that we've seen, which is really cool and really exciting to watch. And I really, really like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like you said, like this is definitely much more interesting to watch than like I said, like if you look at all of the top cut teams or
yeah,
like all
exactly.
of just the top teams from the past, I'd say four or five regionals, they have all implemented a very different strategy. And they're completely different.
Yes.
It's not like previous years where you start to see archetypes pop up as like this is the winning archetype right now. Right now, I should retract my earlier statement. It's definitely easier going in with the confidence that if you're comfortable with a team, you probably can win with it. And with regardless of what it is, you don't have to try. You can't be like, man, I got to beat Dark Void's Miracle.
Oh yeah. No, it's definitely wider. And like you said, if you're confident with your team, you've used your team, you probably will have a very, very good chance of doing well. But yes, so this team actually though has, broken a lot of norms. Like Slow King actually has been very fringe played, but every time it's been played and it's actually done well.
Yeah, no, I've noticed a lot of top cut, Slow Kings.
Yeah.
Previously. Yeah, I mean, it was just a matter of time. One of these Slow Kings is going to bubble up, right?
Yeah.
Just wait, Butterfree's going to be there next.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. Maybe it'll might be my Butterfree now. but yeah, no, his...
That's the mentality to have, though. That's the mentality to have. Maybe, even if you think, well, Butterfree's never top cut before. I think this is the meta where I don't care what's top cut before. You can probably do it. Like, yeah, there's things that are good. Like, obviously, if you look at that team, you have Mimikyu, Snorlax. That's pretty typical. Yep. You can definitely tell that this team is definitely like Trick Room oriented, yes, with the Slow King and the Mimikyu, but at the same time, you've got the Bulu, which is Bulu's nice, yeah, man. Bulu is really nice.
Yeah, Bulu is definitely underrated in this format for many reasons.
I think to an extent, I wouldn't argue that it is entirely underrated.
No, it really is. But like,
it's. Like, I don't know if it's underrated. I think it's outshined. Mm. I think that's the better descriptor. I mean, Bulu's good. Like, don't get me wrong. Bulu's good, and it's a beast. But there's a reason why it doesn't do as well as the rest of them. And its base speed is pretty low compared to the rest of the Tapus, except for maybe the exception being Feeny. But Feeny has the bulk to make up for that. Like both special and physical bulk to make up for having a lower speed stat than Coco and Lele. But Bulu's speed stat, it's accompanied with a really high attack stat, which is fantastic. It's like the only physical Tapu out there, unless you count like physical Coco, which nobody runs. And a couple people do, and to some success. You get really scared when you see Brave Bird come out of Tapu Coco. And but there. The Bulu, I think, is just because of where the other three are at and what they're doing. I think it gets outshined for that matter. I mean, grassy terrain, I think, is probably second best terrain after what's that one called? Psychic terrain. I think grassy terrain is the second best terrain, but I don't think if Bulu had like an extra base 10 speed, different conclusion altogether.
Honestly, like, if you run numbers on Bulu and stuff, he actually is the best anti-Tapu out of the four Tapu.
Oh, best anti-Tapu? That makes sense. I agree with that. Yeah,
he can survive.
I agree with that.
He can survive anything that the other three throw at it, and you can have him to outspeed Feeny very easily, and also a slow Lele. And out of terrain, he will one-shot all of them.
Oh, absolutely. So, like,
in that respect, he's very good for an anti-Tapu. The only thing that really drags him down is Muk and Garchomp, mainly because of the poison jab, the 4X weakness. If he didn't have the 4X weakness, yeah, I think he would be people would be more friendly to use him. But because of the 4X weakness, that's why people try to shy away.
I think we've just labeled like a ton of problems with Bulu. The 4X weakness, I still think his speed stat's a problem to an extent. And just because what is his base speed? It's like 70 something, I think. Let's double check. Let's make sure I'm not stupid.
I'm pretty sure it's like 60 to 70. Bulu, it is no faster than 70. Oh, no, 70.
It's 75. Yeah. That's exactly where I thought it was. 75. Yeah. I mean, that's still slower than Feeny. Feeny's is 85.
Correct.
And but at the same time, Feeny never runs like any kind of speed stat, and you can outrun it with a Bulu fairly easily. Same if you're running like if somebody's running Bulk Ulele, which is definitely very popular. You'll definitely be able to do that. I mean, its defenses aren't terrible, but at the same time, like, I don't know, it's just There are things it could do better. Like that speed stat, speed is like a huge part of Pokemon, especially right now. That's where the Pokemon game, like entirely. If you look at any other meta, every meta, speed is such a huge factor right now. And he's missing it.
I don't know. Like a 75 speed isn't that slow actually for this meta. He will outspeed.
I agree. This is the better one. Is the better meta.
He definitely outspeeds a lot of the Trick Room Mons, and like he'll outspeed Marowak, and you can throw Stone Edge on it, which a lot of people have been to counter Marowaks and yada yada yada.
Yeah, as you should.
I was going to say how it's interesting that Rivers Bulu actually doesn't have Stone Edge; it has Bulk Up and Super Power.
I think Bulk Up is the, like, if you're going to do it, Bulk Up, I think, is better than Swords Dance. I think Bulk Up is better than Swords
Dance. I like how
he
paired it with Superpower so that the two kind of coincide. So if he gets off of a Superpower, he can just Bulk Up and negate the minus from the Superpower, which is really, really nice. Yeah. And then also the way he has a Slowking set up with the Heal Pulse, Flamethrower, and Scald, he definitely has a lot of, like, Kartana hate within that Slowking. With a Rondo Berry, I'm assuming he can live a Leaf Blade from a Kartana and be able to fire back a Flamethrower.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Dude, Flamethrower is like the move you have to run on Slowking. I think that's just one thing that anybody who hasn't played Pokemon would just be completely confused by is a Flamethrower over Slowking. You see this a lot on Slowkings and Slowbros.
They also see like a Fire Blast generally in singles, though, over Flamethrower.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, in this case, Flamethrower is fine because you're playing
You're trying to hurt Kartana, not like other things. Though you...
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing that's different about VGC versus like OU is that you're not prepping generally, you're prepping essentially to be like, yeah, this thing's super popular, I'm gonna take it out. And yeah.
Even though this format is super diverse, like there are like maybe five Pokemon that you need to essentially watch out for in Kartana.
Yeah, it's Kartana and Tapus. Like
yeah. And Snorlax.
Yeah, Snorlax. Yeah, surprisingly, right?
Yep. Snorlax is
I'm waiting for my pulverizing pancake Snorlax to make it big. I'm waiting for it. I want to see that top cut. I want to see pulverizing pancake, man. Do it. Make it happen. All right. So let's move on then. Let's move on to the VGC 18 rule set that got dropped.
Before you do that, I was looking at this. It was the same one with Rivers. There was a person, Justin Wan, who had a Smeargle. Like
Justin Wan, yeah. There's been a couple of Smeargles.
I wouldn't expect to see Guillotine come out of a Smeargle. just to say, like I'm looking at them, like what?
What's the accuracy on that? They're like 30%. Like
it's 30, but it's moody too, though. So it's like,
You might get the accuracy boost.
Actually, I don't know if that works with one hit KO moves.
It does. Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember. There's
because you could do the same thing with like lock on.
Yeah, lock on works 100%, but that's like because literally lock on is like no matter what you use, it hits.
Yeah.
So I didn't know, because I couldn't remember if, like, I thought there was some weird thing with...
I think it's one of those things where he's just like, I brought this Smeargle for support.
And then he threw Guillotine on it, really, yeah.
Well, like, and he's like, these are the three moves I want on it. And then he goes, you know what, here's an empty move slot, let's slap a Guillotine.
Yeah, Sheer Cold, obviously.
Sheer Cold's better than Guillotine, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that hits everything. Because Guillotine, I believe, is a normal type move, so that wouldn't it wouldn't affect Ghost type. No, that's Fissure.
Oh, yeah, Fissures. Guillotine is normal.
Guillotine, I believe, is normal. Yeah.
It is normal. Horn Drill.
Yeah, you should run Sheer Cold instead, especially if you have Smeargle. You have the option.
Yeah.
And you're right. And he's also running a little Ninetales.
It doesn't increase your accuracy.
We can kind of
my mind already.
He's running Sheer Cold on Ninetales, though.
He is!
He's running Sheer Cold on Ninetales. Dude, this guy top cut, though, so, like, good for him.
The Hail Mary.
That works.
Good for him. If he made it happen, he made it happen. To be fair, that's literally almost the same. That's almost the same Ninetales as what's his name? The guy
is it
from
Rialta or his opponent?
No. Ryota didn't have it. It was Sam. Yeah, Sam had the Ninetales, and it's almost the same one, except he's holding Focus Sash, which, honestly, I preferred my Ninetales just to die. Like, let me set up the Aura Veil and die. And but then you... But the Focus Sash gives you an extra turn. Yeah, you can Sheer Cold instead of Click Blizzard.
Exactly. You could just, be like, all right, well, you know what? I got one HP.
Like, that's your Hail Mary. Like, I know I'm going to go first. Blizzard won't Oko. And what scenario are you in that Blizzard's not going to hit an Oko, right? Like, it has to be, you have to be up against, like, a Feeny or something. And you're just like, well, 30% chance to win the game right now. I click Sheer Cold.
Yep, exactly.
So, that's, that's interesting.
Like, here, let me use Tilt. There we go. Oh, it hit good. You're on
top. Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I could imagine a lot of his opponents going on Tilt because of that.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be what happened. All right. Okay, now we're going to move on to VGC 18 being announced. So VGC 18 was announced earlier this month, and it's essentially what we thought it was. They opened up to national decks. Which opens up a lot of things. A lot of people are looking at Battle Spot Doubles as essentially the format, which is true. It is essentially Battle Spot Doubles without legendaries. However, there's a little part of me is kind of hoping, 5% chance that Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon don't have Lando in it. 5%. But they've more or less announced recently that they are going to put other legendaries in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. It was very popular in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire when they added that feature of, hey, you can go catch whatever Pokemon you need to catch to fill out the decks. And I think we're going to see the return of the national decks in the game as well, but that's besides the point. That's not competitive. So it means we're going back to Battle Spot Doubles, essentially. And if you look at that ladder right now, I think Chalk is doing really well. Still, which makes it breaks my heart.
The only thing about that is Chalk will probably see huge usage at first, but
find some way to counter it.
It really all depends on what move tutors are accessible, because right now Kangaskhan has no access to Power Up Punch.
Gets access to Power Up Punch, that's garbage.
Well, that's what Battle Spot Doubles is. It allows Kangaskhan to use Power Up Punch. So the numbers are skewed a little bit.
Maybe, because move tutors typically have a history of always including things that you haven't been able to, or things that you have been able to, use as a TM in the past.
True.
So
but
I wouldn't be surprised if Kangaskhan does get access to Power Up Punch in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon.
And I also wouldn't be surprised if Power Up Punch is a move tutor and Kangaskhan doesn't get it.
That doesn't happen. That won't happen.
If it
could learn as a TM before, it'll get it as a move tutor now.
Nintendo did nerf Kangaskhan very heavily.
No, that's incorrect. It was not that heavily.
No, because you can still do its Power Up Punch and get 2+1s.
Yeah, and the fact that you could break sashes. Honestly,
okay.
With
all of that, there's that. But you're also, it lost 25% of its damage output
on the second hit. Yeah,
and it lost 10 base power in its stat and its most used priority move in Sucker Punch.
Yeah, me, but I still don't think I don't think that's a big enough nerf.
But taking away Power Up Punch would be.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen though. I think you're looking starry eyed and hopeful, like I was about Lando T.
All right, we'll see.
I'll give you a 5% chance for that to not happen.
Well, we shall see. My prediction is that. And your prediction is that.
Yeah.
But as far as the other legendaries,
I was really hoping, when they announced it, I'm like, oh, maybe we won't get Lando and maybe you won't be able to catch Cresselia or something like that. And it's more and more looking like I'm wrong.
Yeah.
And we'll know in 3 weeks.
Exactly.
We'll know in 3 weeks, probably before then, because it'll probably get leaked beforehand, or they'll announce hey, look, you can go through this Ultra Space, and look, I found a Lando. And it's just like, stop.
Then
stop.
The other cool thing to think about, too, is regular Raichu and regular Marowak.
Yeah, they get to come back.
Well,
I don't think Marowak so much. I think Raichu might see some use, maybe.
How do you get them in 7th gen?
Oh, that's true.
You can't.
Yeah, you're not getting those.
So regular Raichu, which is actually really, really good in BSD, Battlespot Doubles, can't be used. So, like, that's going to disturb the meta a little bit. And then also...
Not that much. I mean...
I'd be surprised.
Like Raichu was good in 2016. I don't know about 2015.
Raichu was very good in 2015 as a good pace setter and good disruptor because of the lightning rod.
Yeah, I didn't see it top cut worlds, I'll tell you that much. I saw eight Landos.
But as also, too, now that there's Tapu Koko in the format and Zerkatry is a good setup electric Pokemon, Raichu would be...
I think setup's going to go down in usage.
Yes.
As a strategy.
But there's also a lot more redirection in this format, so its setup could potentially, maybe, like, it has the potential to, if some, for someone to find the correct team composition for it to go very far. But yes, it is definitely going to be a lot harder to use.
This is going to go back to the metas of old. Like, that's the problem. Like, this one, we're going to go from, like, this really good diverse meta, and at least for, like, the first 3 months, it's going to be a really bland meta. And it's going to be sad.
Well, I mean, even 2015, when the first national decks came in with the Megas, it was very volatile and it was very diverse. It didn't start getting bland until, like, almost up until the Worlds end. And then a little
bit. It was right before Worlds. Chalk became a thing around, I think, June or July in 2015. Yep. And because you had the it was essentially chalk. Everybody knew chalk was really good in 2015, or at least the components of chalk were.
Yeah.
And then they all came together around U.S. nationals.
Yep.
I would say more than anything, that's when everybody noticed, like, you put all these pieces together and you have a team and you just put a sixth member on there for funsies.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that at first it's going to, like, people are going to try it with the Kangaskhan. And I feel that it's because Pheromosa single-handedly beats up.
It depends on what the Kangaskhan calcs are. I haven't sat down and done the calcs for Kangaskhan.
He missed out on a lot of KOs that normally he would have gotten with Earth,
yeah.
So they have to bump it up to Double Edge, which then he gets the same power output as if he was using Return, but he doesn't get the longevity that he had back then.
Mm-hmm.
But that could change a little bit because one of the biggest changes to the rules is the player timer.
Yeah. That is a good point. I did want to talk about that because the timer is nutsos now. One thing they wanted it to matter again.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, the timer right now works like a chess clock. And so whenever you're doing your move, you get, a minute per turn and 10 minutes total. And so when your timer's up, that's when the game's over. It's your fault. You lost because they wanted to be able to definitively find a winner much easier from timer than before. So because, the issue you were having, especially in 2016, I don't think this was as bad as in 2015, but 2016, you had a lot of people playing timer. And just timer stalling a lot. There was one match, I believe, that was streamed in 2016 where a guy was definitely in a position to lose, like, heavily, but he played the timer and he won. Which, if you read, I think, I don't want to sound like Verlissify right now, but if you read the rules, like, there's, like, a code of sportsmanship and stuff, like, not to do that and stuff like that. And it just feels really cheap when it happens to you. You know, and then the excuse you hear all the time is, oh, but that's a win condition.
So,
and it's just like, yeah, but it's a really poopy
so
win.
Here's the breakdown of what had happened with the timer stalling. So to define timer stalling, just in case people don't understand what that is back in the day, you had a timer of 20 minutes, I think, or 15 minutes that...
It was 15.
In that 15 minutes, as soon as you connected and said the first screen of select your move popped up, the timer would count down. Now that timer counts down on both player screens and it's synced.
On the animations.
On the animations and everything. So now when that timer hits zero, the game will now go to who has the most Pokemon. Then
it's like HP.
Who has the most Pokemon, percent of HP remaining, and then number of or HP points remaining, if that's the same. So it goes down to a tiebreaker. And then, so what people would do is say, I have three Pokemon, but they're all on one HP. And Thatch has two Pokemon that all have priority moves. But there is less than 45 seconds left on that clock, that shared clock. All I have to do is wait my turn out. The 45 seconds would count down. The game will end before the turn even begins. And I would win because I have three Pokemon to Thatch's two. So a lot of the players were very outraged at that because in one turn, if you did it correctly, you can waste 5 minutes of that joint time. And that was with the red card, Intimidator, switching primal animations. And it was just a whole bunch of different animation layers. And that stalled about 5 minutes. So what they did was they changed it to, like Thatch said, a chess clock. So now if you choose to use 45 seconds, which is the full length of your turn. Is it a minute?
Okay, no, it's a minute. It's a minute now, I think.
If you use 60 seconds, that will take 60 seconds off of your 10 minutes of play. Animations do not count towards this. And what that allows is it doesn't allow your opponent to burn the clock so that situations like that don't arise.
I thought this year was pretty fair. There is the thing where the timer didn't really matter because not a lot of people were using like the full 10 minute timers, and it's just like Nintendo wanted it to count or Game Freak wanted it to count again, and they dropped it to 5 minutes.
That's a fair assessment, actually.
Which I think it's a decent amount of time. I really wish it was like 6 or 7. I think if we want to talk about entry into the game, I think that's really bad for people learning the game, first of all, just because, you have 5 minutes, like that's barely enough time to like figure out if you're learning a team or something, how to do it. I mean, you could obviously go to simulators, but let's think of somebody, because I know a lot of VGC players just don't do simulators. And so if you're practicing on the cartridge, that's really poopy for you. But I do see it from a competitive standpoint. It's definitely going to speed up the games.
Yes.
I'll say that much. I think you're not going to have a lot of stuff going to like the actual timer because I believe you have like an hour total for every match now, or it's 50 minutes. I forget exactly what it is.
No, it's 50 minutes. Yeah. Let me see. I don't know if they changed the...
I don't know if they changed it overall, but I think it was 50 minutes now. And so you could technically go over it if you don't start games fast enough in between and stuff like that. So you can still go to timer technically in game three.
So the going back to your barrier of entry with the 5 minute timer. So most of my longest games have gone down to where me and my opponent have used roughly 7 minutes of our in-game timers. I think the lowest I've seen one of my opponents go was 1 minute and 38 seconds.
Yeah, I agree.
So with the 5 minute timer limit, games, you're going to be forced to select moves quicker. So even at higher level play where there's a lot of stress, trying to think of 3 or 4 turns in advance, is going to actually hinder you more. So you can be setting yourself up for a victory, but if you're not picking it fast enough, then you actually might make yourself lose. And you're going to see a lot more mistakes in the higher end, or just a lot more mistakes in general because of that pressure of selecting your move. Because most games, most people will use about 6 minutes of their...
Yeah, I like that. It's just the amount, like, if they're going to shorten the timer, at least make it exciting, right? You're going to see a lot of people, like you said, 6 minutes. I think that's about average. I agree with that.
Right.
And so, like, that's just under 6 minutes. So you're at least, if you're going to change the timer, at least you made it exciting to watch.
Right. And... so there's going to be definitely a lot more mistakes being made, mm-hmm. which, I don't know, it depends on your view on if you're watching battles and stuff. I know when I watch battles, especially top eights, I want to see well thought out and, you know, mm-hmm. good plays. I don't want to see people making mistakes.
I agree with that.
But some people really like that because, you know, that shows that some of these top players, you know, aren't, you know, quote unquote, you know.
I think it's one of those things, again, like going back to what we were talking about earlier with the VGC 17 meta.
Yes.
Is that it's going to be in a situation where anything can, well, not anything. I think we're going to be far more limited by what can win now. But like anybody can win. I should say anybody, not anything.
Right.
Because you're introducing a new layer of quote unquote RNG, which is your opponent feeling stressed by the timer.
Yes.
And that's something that very well could happen.
So a good suggestion going into this, while you're practicing now and you get the chance, keep an eye on your timer, play as if you have 5 minutes on the clock, and the people who are going to be doing better are going to be the people who do flow charts, as they say, where they'll
It's know your team.
Yeah, know your team.
Let's know your team, so you know, like, oh, I'm playing against this. This is what I should be doing.
Yeah, know your team. Know your actions beforehand that you need to take per what you see mm-hmm. in front of you. And the people who are going to be doing better are going to be the ones who kind of do an autopilot, style of play, where they're going to have built-in strategies. Like they're going to see Charizard, Y, Venusaur. Okay, I do this, 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 and this, this. And if it doesn't work, mm-hmm. oh well, I do it again. It should work, you know. And you're going to see a lot more of that style of play. Like, you've seen it, actually, in the beginning of this season, a lot of the top players, what they would talk about is making flowcharts, where if they mm-hmm. see a set of Pokemon, they see a set of things, they just do A, B, C, D, E, and they win, they win. They lose, they lose. So, yep. There's not a lot of predicting, so to speak.
I would agree with that. I definitely agree with that. It's gonna, a lot less predicting, which is, I don't know. It's gonna change the game. It's definitely gonna change the game. I think that's a huge change to make. I haven't heard too many people say good things about that timer, though. Honestly, I don't see it one way or the other. I see it. That's the way the game's gonna be played now. I don't think it's gonna ruin their viewership or anything. I think it's definitely.
I think it'll increase the viewership actually, because it is a lot.
Honestly, probably. It's a lot more exciting to watch. I think they're really trying to take this esports thing seriously to some extent, other than like not streaming like the prominent regionals themselves. Yeah. I'm really befuddled by the fact that they only do, like, when they have multiple regionals on the same weekend, they only do one regional at a time.
Right.
Because that's a huge opportunity, especially when they do it like all over the world. Like, you're doing it on like 9 hour time differences.
Yeah, this is definitely true.
And so it's definitely something doable that you could just run like a 24-hour stream and you just switch to the other regional. I mean, it's exactly how they do like the NFL schedule. You could do the same thing. And esports are getting bigger. I mean, NBA teams this week just like started signing up for like Overwatch teams and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, like the esports scene is like moving up in the world, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so this is Pokemon's entry into that, though I don't think Pokemon, and I hope Pokemon never becomes like a super serious esport, and I don't think it ever can because of the RNG involved.
Yeah, we'll see what the future of Pokemon will bring. But for now, just to do a quick recap on the rules, because we didn't really read them.
Yes, go for it.
So you're going to have to...
I think we hit on the major
point. Yeah, you're going to have to use the Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon cards. All Pokemon in the National Pokedex are allowed with the following restrictions. You must have the Alolan symbol showing where they were caught in, that they were caught in Alola. No duplicate Pokemon allowed. And mythical Pokemon, some legendary Pokemon, and Ash Greninja are not allowed. And then also another big change is that you're allowed to use all items that are in the game.
Yeah, so Mega's
so that
back.
Means Mega Evolution is back. And then all Pokemon are set to level 50, and even if they are below level 50, they're raised to level 50. And then the biggest change, which is the player time of 5 minutes instead of 10.
Yeah, and I'm saddened by the fact that, like, I was hoping they would do, like, open up national decks, but no Megastones, and then the year after that they do Megastones. But that means 2019 we're going to hear a lot of people complain again.
Me, I actually, personally, I love this format, but I would have been happy enough with Move Tutors just added to the 2017 format.
I would have been perfectly fine with moving to national decks if you didn't bring in Megas, because I think that's a completely different meta that you haven't seen before. And I was hoping for a different meta as opposed to, oh, here's your old meta plus plus
that
the new
meta
Pokemon.
Would have been very similar to the 2013 Latias and Thunderous and Lando. Like, it would have been more like that.
I mean, you already see it. You already see that, so... We'll see. We'll see. Well, I mean, maybe we'll get lucky and Kangaskhan won't get power up punch and what's his face won't exist Lando. So,
well, also too, just so people are aware, because some people don't know, they're from Gen 6 to Gen 7. There's actually a change in the Mega Evolution mechanic.
That does make a huge difference for a lot of Megas. Looking at you, Swampert.
And also there is. A nerf to a lot of abilities that were on Megas. So do you want to talk about the Mega mechanic?
Yeah, so like the Mega mechanic, the difference is, I mean, the only difference is your speed stat kicks in first turn. The turn you Mega Evolve instead of the turn after you Mega Evolve, which is a huge, the biggest offender of this, I say offender because it makes me upset, is Swampert. Because Swift Swim Swampert, Mega Swampert is absurd. He's got a massive attack stat, and you can get him to easily over 500 speed, which just outruns almost everything. And you can do that turn one. Then, you can do it turn one.
And then some other Pokemon that it affects negatively, actually. Well, one more that it affects very positively is Mega Beedrill.
Yes, it does.
I think Mega Beedrill will used quite a bit more. Yep. Because Mega Beedrill actually does pretty well against Chalk with its Drill Run, its Poison.
Yeah. Well, you better hope that Move Tutors show up then.
Well, Move Tutors are confirmed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hopefully the same ones.
Sure, this is true. But then some other Pokemon that it negatively affects are Mega Sableye, Mega Garchomp, things that liked to take advantage of their abilities of the previous form or speed of the previous form. So it affects, it positively affects Megas and negatively affects Megas.
Yes.
Now, some of the, abilities that were nerfed, mainly the,
the eight abilities, anything.
Eight abilities, there you go. So, like, Pixelate, Aerialate, Refrigerate, instead of boosting by 30%, I think now they boost by 20%.
Let me double check. I'm getting confirmation. Yeah, it's 20. It's moved from 30 to 20. I still think that's not terrible.
That's not terrible. But not it definitely terrible. Does. It definitely did have an effect on Salamence with its Hyper Voice.
Yeah, thank God.
A lot of people aren't using it as much now because it does miss out on a lot of KOs. So in some cases that 10% does make a big difference, but in other cases like Mega Garnivore, I think the 10% is fine because Mega Garnivore's Hyper Voice was amazing.
It still is. I mean, the difference is you look at Salamence, flying is a great type, but Salamence's special attack 110 or Mega Salamence is 120. I believe Mega Guard is like way higher than that. Do you know, Shaman?
Mega Guard, we were talking about speed? No, Mega Guard's like 100.
No, special attack.
Oh, 165.
Yeah, it's massive compared to Salamence, so.
Correct.
You're making a huge difference. And Fairy, I mean, is obviously also a good type.
Yes.
Good typing. Not as good as Flying. I think Flying is an amazing type. It's an amazingly offensive type that, outside of, like, Celesteela and Ferrothorn, just hits the meta, like, really hard.
Yep. It's just that there's not that many good Flying moves.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's why, I mean, Supersonic Sky Strike, I think, is fantastic on a lot of things. So thank God for Z-moves, because you can make yourself have a good Flying-type move, which is hardly resisted by anything. And that's why I think if we actually go back in time to a time before Bank came out in Gen 7, in the pre-Bank meta, you saw a lot of Mega Pinsir for the exact same reason.
Yes.
Because Mega Pinsir, what's it called? Mega Pinsir, you know, return with Aerialite. That's just nasty. Like, that hurts. So,
and then
what's in it there? Oh, wait, you have one. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to, never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So we'll end it there, guys. And we'll take a short break and we'll be right back at you with Shira's team.
Hey, Bo. Look, Corsa La Cola came out with a new drink. Corsa La Cola Zero. Try it.
Wow, cool. Huh. That's pretty good. How do they make it?
Well, they breed Corsola specifically so they have zero IVs across the board.
So they're terrible Pokemon.
Except for being able to make delicious cola, Bo. It's great, because they just take the Corsola and they make the cola for you. It's 100% authentic zero IV Corsola.
I think I'm bleeding out of my mouth.
No, Bo, that's a lie. Because Corsola Cola, it won't make your gums bleed.
And welcome back. We're here today with our team of the episode. This was actually sent to us by Shira. And so she wants us to do like a Rate My Team, which we're more than happy to do. If you want to do so, you can send us an email at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. We really do appreciate it. And they're actually fun. It's fun to look at other people's teams. I think it's more interesting to look at other people's teams. So we're going to go ahead and do that. So, Shira has Comfey, Tapu Fini, Garchomp, Kartana, Mandibuzz, and Arcanine. We are going to go through and break down each one of these and suggest things that are better. So, I hope she's not too attached to Comfey, because we were talking about this beforehand, that she should probably drop it. This Comfey is running Big Root, which doesn't actually do anything with its moves, unfortunately.
It helps Leech Seed. That's the only
it helps one. Leech Seed, but that's it, right?
Yeah.
And so... 252 HP, 252 Special Defense, Calm to just really bulk up that Special Defense. Leech Seed, Swagger, Floral Healing, which is just Heal Pulse, right?
It's Heal Pulse, but can do more in Grassy Terrain.
Okay. Yeah. And then Synthesis. She can do more in Grassy Terrain, but she's not running Bulu. So Comfey is... Comfey, we think you should swap it out. I think Ryusei said Celesteela. Celesteela seems like a terrible choice. I think that's just a solid choice overall.
It is. You can run a Comfey, but it's better to run Comfey for a Trick Room Center.
I agree with that.
With Bulu would be preferable.
With the ability triage.
Right. So for the team composition that I see with the Feeny, Mandibuzz, Chomp, Kartana, Arcanine, I think Celesteela would be a nice fit in the Comfey slot.
Yeah, I think that we can agree with that. And then what kind of Celesteela? Because there's like 30 variants.
So if you go to Trainer Tower and look up a special defense boosting Celesteela,
yeah, that's probably the one.
The moves I would suggest is Leech Seed, Protect, Flamethrower, and Heavy Slam. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty standard with leftovers. It's a pretty standard Celesteela, but it does the job very well, especially paired up with Garchomp.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. And so, yeah, there we go. First one. So the next one is Tapu Fini. Choice specs, 252 HP, 252 Special Attack, 4 Speed, Modest Nature, Moonblast, Muddy Water, Ice Beam, Scald. There are a couple of things I would say. I know Ryusei has different opinions, and I'm probably going to defer to him. But I don't think you need more than like 164 Special Attack on a Choice Specs Tapu Fini. I don't think you pick up any significant KOs. From running full 252, unless you're just like, man, I really got to do max damage to that Snorlax.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point.
And I mean, you could run Choice Specs. You could also run Calm Mind. I don't think it really matters on the team composition. I personally, it depends on your play style. I think here.
Well,
but I looking at the rest of the team, I think your play style should be bulky, like stay alive.
Well, the fact that she's running Mandibuzz, Mandibuzz and Feeny is a very, very powerful combo. And I think running a Moonblast, Muddy Water, Calm Mind, Protect Feeny with bulk and defense and special defense.
I think Trainer Tower also has a good spread for that.
Very,
I think
they have a decent spread. I've used its spread for a very long time. And
yeah, let me find that real quick, and then you keep going while
pairing
I'm looking for it.
Pairing it with Mandibuzz allows you to use Tailwind, which then allows Feeny to be able to outspeed a lot of threats. So basically you'd want to be able to double your speed and outspeed Faramosa, which I think it does that naturally without too much speed investment.
With a tailwind
yep.
up? I don't know what the speed investment would have to be for that. I think it would have to be you'd have to do some speed investment to outspeed Faramosa in a tailwind.
Which is not too much. Let's see.
Not too much, but I mean, even then, you could get like foul play off
on like,
it too.
Maybe yeah. like 8 EVs.
Yeah, it's not that
no.
much.
4 to 12, I mean EVs. And so what it's gonna allow you to do is Mandibuzz is a really good partner with Feeny because it gets foul play, which it's really good against the common threat Snorlax. And with Tailwind and one Combine from the Feeny, you essentially have your choice specs right there.
Yeah, just do that. Exactly. I think that's the better play. Yep.
And then being able to protect.
And then maybe not Scald. I'm not a fan of Scald on Feenies, like in general, just because you're already setting up the Misty Terrain, so you reduce your chance of getting the burn like significantly due to the fact that Misty Terrain just prevents it. And I think Hydro Pump's a better move for the Scald slot. And then Ice Beam, I think, is questionable. Ryusei and I were having a discussion about that as well. Because Ice Beam, I don't know what you're picking up KO-wise that Moonblast doesn't do. I'm thinking Garchomp. And then Ryusei brought up that like Assault Vest Garchomp can eat a Moonblast, but at the same time, that's still that's a rarity.
Well, Assault Vest Salamence.
In my opinion. That one
right,
I think
that is
more
a lot
common.
More common.
In terms of Salamence. Yeah, so, you know, I'll give you that one. So that's the only thing I would see. But I mean, you could, I don't know what else you'd throw in there. Maybe Nature's Madness, but I think Protect is, whatever you said as well, I think is a better option. You gave off moves and I didn't listen. So, Moonblast, Muddy Water, Calm Mind, Protect, right? That sounds right. Yeah, okay, that sounds right. And
now, Scald isn't that bad of a choice in doubles, at least this format, especially because
if you have like a Coco or a Lele switch in or something like that, or even a Bulu switch in, it'd be nice to get the like
burn. Yeah, well, there's going to be one to maybe even two Tapus on every single team you face, mm-hmm. whether you know when your opponent or facing your opponent, so the terrain changes a lot.
Yeah,
like a lot more than in singles.
I agree with that. All right, so moving down the list, we have Garchomp with Ground DMZ. That's 252 Adamant, though. Rock Slide, Poison Jab, Earthquake, Protect. If you're going to run Ground DMZ Garchomp, in my opinion, especially if you're running an Adamant, I do not think that the 252 speed is necessary. I don't think you're going to be outrunning anything. Unless you want to speed tie other Garchomp that for some reason are running an Adamant. because I think, let me see if I can find it, but I don't think that's the standard Garchomp set. And I know I'm sounding awful because I'm playing super meta. The standard Garchomp set is actually that right now. What is that? Except that's running it Jolly. You could run it Jolly instead if you want to do that, but if you want to run Adamant, which is a perfectly viable option, Sam Pedelis did that in what's it called? At Worlds. When he got runner up, he ran like I think only like 164 speed or something like that.
Yeah, basically, you run enough speed to outspeed Faramosa, and you
in Tailwind or something like that.
Ground DMZ. Yeah, when you make it the more bulky version.
Yeah,
yes.
If you're Scarf Chomp, yeah, you run like 220 speed because then you outrun everything essentially that you need to outrun.
Right. But yeah, that's what I suggest, especially with the Celesteela. I think Scarf Chomp Adamant is going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I think you should definitely Scarf Chomp. You can get away with Adamant with Scarf Chomp. Yeah, I think Scarf Chomp is probably the better play here personally, and then you can get an extra move in there too. You can get Dragon Claw or something.
Dragon Claw or Fire Fang.
Yeah, I think you either run Fire Fang or Poison Jab. You take your pick there.
I don't know. It depends. I know that Salamence has seen a decrease in play.
So oh, absolutely. Yeah,
Fire
Fang
might be a better option just to hit the Kartanas and Celesteelas.
Maybe. I also think of like the mirror matchup.
But you have Feeny.
Because if like you
have Feeny.
Hmm.
So like Earthquake,
that's,
I think does more.
That's true. To another Garchomp? I don't think so.
Yeah,
let's move on. But either way, let's move on. Kartana's fine. Yep. It's standard Kartana. Kartana, Focus, Sash, 252 Attack, 252 Speed, Jolly, Leaf Blade, Sacred Sword, Smart Strike, Detect. Yes, you're running that right. Mandibuzz. I think you could fix the spread because the Mandibuzz, Misty Seed, Overcoat, 252 HP, 4 Defense, 252 Special Defense, Calm Nature, Roost, Taunt, Defog. That's the question mark I'm putting there. And Foul Play. This is not singles. No, I don't think Defog is useful. I think you should...
I didn't see that earlier.
Yeah, it's Defog.
I don't... Why? Screens? It's Defog.
Could be screens.
That's the only option. I would much rather have Tailwind there. I think Tailwind is the proper
move. Tailwind would be really good. And then just enough.
That way, yeah, you get enough speed to outrun a lot of things with Tailwind.
And then as far as the F spread goes, you can take out a little bit in the special defense just so that you live. You can live.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think there has to be. That calculation's been done. Let me find out.
I might have a spread here actually on my side that.
Oh, do you? What is it?
I'm going to find it real quick.
180 special defense. That's what you want.
Sure.
That's what I found. I found it faster, I think.
I've got to scroll and find this thing. That's why
It's only a 12... With 180 special defense, it's only a 12.1% chance that you get KO.
I got the weird spread here.
With a 2d2 modest Tapu Lele. Moonblast. So... That's not bad. And you get it's a guaranteed 3-hit KO from Feeny in Misty Terrain. So take that. Huzzah. And so, yeah, I think that's definitely like 180 there, and you put more in defense. So you have physical bulk. You have some more physical bulk.
What I have here is like max HP, 52 defense.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the
standard.
I think it might be like 56 or 24 speed. I don't know. For some reason,
24 speed, probably for like speed ties.
Yeah, no, because I had 4 special attack for some reason on this. I'm like questioning why. I don't know why I had special attack.
You don't want special attack. No, you just want speed.
No, yeah, no. It'd be like 56 speed, 20 speed.
Yeah.
I mean, 56 defense, 20 speed.
A lot of players have suggested to make their Mandibuzz a little bit more faster, like to be able to outspeed zero speed investment Feenies.
I think it's an interesting idea, but I don't think it's great in practice. The other Pokemon that are left then, or the last Pokemon, is Arcanine, which is holding the Apapa Berry, that 25% berry, which you're seeing a lot of now. And you get 252 HP, 188 defense, and 70 special defense. Bold Nature, I think. You could definitely do without Bold, just because we're looking at your moveset. It's Heat Wave, Helping Hand, Protect, Morning Sun. We think it would be better to drop the... I don't think you need Morning Sun with the Apapa Berry. I think that's overkill in the terms of like, oh, I need healing. And I think you could definitely go with like a more physical set. I think Extreme Speed is one of the reasons to run Arcanine in general. Like, Arcanine gets access to Extreme Speed. It's one of the best users of it, in my opinion. And so if you're going to do that, go physical, run Flare Blitz. You're going to get the knockouts that you need to get. I think physical is also just a better way to go in this meta. You might have Intimidate users, but you're also going to have... you're also going to be able to hit Snorlax harder than you would if you didn't run that, especially like the Belly Drum variant of Snorlax. Because its defense, I think, is like base 65. And if you can double into it in one turn with 2 physical attacks, you're going to be cherry.
Yeah. Actually, this team comp seems to have a very strong matchup against Snorlax and Kartana.
A lot of common threats. I mean, this is other than the Comfey, I think the whole thing was like a very solid core. I think the issue with it was more of just like... Like, if we were to talk OU right now, like, we would be like, oh, take out Comfey, you're done, in terms of that. But if we're talking VGC here, you're definitely going to go ahead and just, you want to tune those EV spreads so that you can survive certain things, you can optimize your lifespan, stuff like that. Because VGC, unlike OU, you definitely can look at the meta and see what's more popular than other things. So...
Yep. And just on the Feeny, I know, I think we forgot to mention that if you do the Columbine variant, you put a Pinchberry.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. A Pinchberry, by that he means one of the 25% berries that go up to 50% when you're done, which I think you can do. I think you can double up with the Arcanine, so you're fine. And so I think that's going to be it for us this week. If you guys – oh, go for it, Shannon.
One side note, if you are adamant on the Comfy, I would recommend running Draining Kiss because – like, that way you have some sort of priority offensive move if you're adamant on running it. Because that way you
have meant, like, adamant as, like, the nature.
I mean, if you really want to run it, because with Leech Seed, the only thing that's getting used for Big Root, plus with Triage, Draining Kiss will get priority, and you'll have Stab, and Fairy is not a horrible type to have.
Yeah.
And it'll, because, like, I'm, depending on what you want to get rid of, maybe Swagger or... I don't know, because, like, Swagger can be good, but I'm just thinking, like, with Triage, that's the only move right here that does not get any use out of Triage.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and like, if you do want...
Or Synthesis, too, because you can actually gain the healing from Draining Kiss.
Right. And if you do want to run Comfey, I suggest running a Trick Room on it and playing, like, team...
Mm-hmm. Like well, that'd be for a different team in general.
Exactly. I'm just saying, like, Comfey in general doesn't really work with this team. I think as a Trick Room setter and... something like that, I think it'd be really, really good. You know, like Snorlax, Bulu, etc.
Yeah. I agree. All right, so that's going to be it for us this week. If you have a team to send us, you can do so at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, if you want to check us out on the socials, you can check us out at Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, all with the Puckle Podcast name. They're also on our website, pucklepodcast.com. Of course, if you have some extra time as well, check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/PucklePodcast. Check us out on Twitch, twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. We do battles and TCG and all this other fun stuff. And I know Scron's doing a Nuzlocke right now, which he's really into, like really into. And finally, if you want to help support the show, you can do so in a couple of different ways. First of all is going to be doing, we have TeePublic now. You can find shirts there. Support the show through that. It's very helpful. We really appreciate it. It's just a good way to support the show if you haven't already. You can also go ahead and what's the last thing? You can also support us on Patreon if you haven't already. Patreon.com/PucklePodcast. It's a great way to support the show. You can get access to a monthly live show that you can be a part of. Not to mention, you can also just talk to me for like an hour on a random Saturday during the month, which is a lot of fun. I love talking to you guys. You get access to an exclusive channel on the Discord. And you also get, I don't know, rewards, Pokemon, whatever we decide to do that month. So it's a lot of fun. Check it out, patreon.com/PucklePodcast. Of course, feed yourself before you pay us. We're in no rush to like become rich and famous, nor do we plan on being. So that is it for this week, though, guys. So I'm Trainer Thatch.
I'm Shamu.
And I'm Ryuse.
And here, I guess this is the Alola... Battle Dome, that's it. Yeah, Battle Royale Dome.
Battle Royale, there you go.
Yeah, it's closing time. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.